It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, and alongside Kevin Gleva and special guest Owen Pulley for this first segment. And we have a good show for you on, really, this is going to be our only show of the week, obviously, since Thanksgiving's on Thursday. So happy holidays from everyone here at the Sports Spotlight. But this is the November 23rd edition of the Spotlight. Like I said, I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside Kevin Gleva and special guest for this first segment, Owen Pulley, the one and only. But we're going to have a good show for you. The Colts, big win last week versus the Bills. Jonathan Taylor, possibly the MVP. The Colts play the Buccaneers this weekend, so big news around that. The Colts really hopping up in the rankings as a top team in the NFL. Pacers beat the Bulls somehow last night in a blowout fashion. NFL Week 11 recap. What's going on in soccer with Christian? We'll join the show later and talk everything you need to know about soccer. And then IU basketball, 4-0 on the season. Purdue basketball, 5-0 on the season. So two of the top Indiana schools undefeated so far. We're going to get that in a little bit more as well. So a lot to talk about. And an NBA recap of what's going on in the league since we've seen you last. But we're going to start off with the Indianapolis Colts. Big win over the Bills, 41-15 last week. I mean, Kevin, what did you see from the Colts?
Well, going into the game, the Bills were actually favored by 7 points. So, I mean, it was expected they were going to win by the touchdown, but the Colts came in and they just dominated from the start. I mean, they got the run game established. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's first quarter was, at one point, he was on track to rush for like 300 yards or something if he kept up that production, which of course he didn't, but he still had an incredible game overall. And I mean, really just an outstanding performance by the Colts and a very big win beating a quality opponent for him.
Jonathan Taylor, 204 total yards, 185 rushing yards, and he had 5 total touchdowns, 4 on the ground, 1 through the air. And Jonathan Taylor has really put himself in that MVP conversation. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the Colts, 41-15 on team, they were down. They had the Bills plus 7. And the Colts won in blowout fashion. So if you betted the Colts in that game, you could have won some money. But we can't talk about that. but the Colts, 41-15. And they looked impressive. Carson Wentz only 106 yards. He didn't have to do too much to win this game. He had a passing touchdown to Jonathan Taylor. Carson Wentz really only threw the ball 20 times, 11 for 20. 5 of those were throwaways. Colts now 6-5. Bills go to 6-4. Taylor, 32 carries, the most ever in his NFL career. Okay, he's never even had over 27 carries before. 32 against the number one ranked rush defense going in. Number one ranked, whole league. Going into this game, and Jonathan Taylor has 185 yards rushing, 4 rushing touchdowns, 32 carries. Absolute dominant performance, one of the best performances we've seen all season. And really the ultimate question is, how good can Jonathan Taylor be? I know a couple weeks ago we touched on, is he a top 3 running back in the NFL? And I think, Kevin, you said he wasn't. You've got guys like Nick Chubb over him. And now it looks like Jonathan Taylor might even be better than Derrick Henry. It's a question to have. I'm not going to say that's true. But is Jonathan Taylor, Kevin, the best running back in the league currently?
In terms of production, yeah, he is.
In terms of what else? What are you applying? In terms of what?
Production is how they play.
So why do you say in terms of production? So without production, who's the best in the league then?
Derrick Henry. I'd give it to him. No one stops the man.
But, no one stops him, but can anyone really stop Jonathan Taylor?
No, not right now.
And who's better at receiving the ball out of the backfield?
Jonathan Taylor, but neither back really gets it very often out of the backfield.
Well, eh.
Not very often.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor does have like 32.5 catches this year.
Three a game. Three-ish.
Yeah. Does Nick Chubb catch the ball out of the backfield? No. Nick Chubb does not. But the real question is, as Jonathan Taylor, 4 touchdowns, rushing, 5 in the total game, now he leads the league in rushing yards by about 300 to the next closest active player. Henry, 200 behind him. Actually, no, 300 behind Henry. 400 behind anyone else. Okay. He leads the NFL in touchdowns, total points scored, and yards from scrimmage. He leads the league in every category. He has 8 games now with 100 yards and 1 touchdown, tying the MVP back in the early 2000s in the LaDainian Tomlinson. If Jonathan Taylor keeps it up, he gets to 2,000 yards, is it possible he can win MVP?
I hope so. I mean, the MVP is just such a quarterback's award these days just because the stats and points quarterbacks put up. So to see a running back be able to win it, I mean, that'd be cool just because it does not happen a lot. And, I mean, how often do we see running backs have 2,000 yards if he was able to get there, or seasons like that? Not very often at all. And like you said, I mean, he's has scored the most points in the league so far this season. So, I mean, it's hard not to give it to him right now. But like I said, I mean, it's kind of a quarterback's award as of recently, at least. So it's against him to win it, but he's making a case for himself.
Yeah, I mean, he's making a case, but I marked down the 4 ways Jonathan Taylor can win MVP, okay? Number one, the Lance. Colts. We'll get to that in a second. Number one, the Colts have to go at least 5-2 in their next 7. So they have to have a good record. If they go 5-2 in their next 7, they have 13 wins. 5-7, they would have 12. No, I can't do math. They'd have 11. They'd have 11 wins if they go 5-2.
They need to go 4-2. They have 6 more games left.
Well, they had 7.
No, they play 17 games. They have 6-5. It's 11 games. Oh.
Well, they have to go 4-2.
Which would make them 10-7.
10-7.
Last week we were saying they either need to go 5-2 or 6-1.
But a lot of people lost in the AFC. And they beat the Bills. And
the Titans lost. That was
To your team.
Texans.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But number 2 for Jonathan Taylor to possibly win MVP, he's going to have to get 2,000 yards. He's going to have to get at least close. And he's going to have to lead the league in touchdowns. And he's going to have to lead the league in scrimmage yards. So if he keeps up everything, he could still get it. Number 3, no quarterback can take over. So let's say if Kyler Murray doesn't get hurt, he's probably still the favorite.
Most likely.
And I mean, no quarterback has really taken over as the clear MVP. In the years that the running backs have won, in 2012, Adrian Peterson, and then the early 2000s, and Tomlinson, no quarterback took over that season, you could say. But when it comes down to it, who helps their team the most? Obviously, it's going to be a quarterback, because this is a quarterback-driven league. But when it comes down to the best player statistically, and I mean when it comes to win shares, it's probably Jonathan Taylor. Just take Taylor off this Colts team. Where are they at right now?
I think that they're kind of not really struggling, but we saw it last year when Roethlisberger was throwing the ball 50 times a game. That they struggled a lot. And if you have Wentz throwing the ball a lot, it's not great to have.
Yeah, whenever he threw the ball 50 times, they lost to Tennessee.
Yeah, and then the next game it was against the Jets, but Jonathan Taylor, I believe, had 20 rushes or 20 touches, and they won.
I mean, part of it's going to be, will the Colts keep up feeding Jonathan Taylor, which they should now that they have.
Knowing the Colts, they're going to give him like 2 rushes next
week. That's why you have to question it.
Number 4.
I mean,
he has to get 20 or more carries a game.
I mean, the Bills are one of the best defenses in the league.
Statistically the best.
Yeah. And then they run the ball to him, and it obviously works pretty well. And then next week, like you said, against the Bucs defense, one of the best defenses in the league as well. I mean, it was a defense that won the Super Bowl. They're going to feed him. I don't think they're going to feed him enough, and then that's not going to bid well for them.
But one statistic I did see kind of wild is, who do you think leads the NFL in carries?
Is it Taylor?
Derrick Henry?
Or not Taylor. Derrick Henry?
It's not Derrick Henry.
Nick Chubb?
No. It's someone you probably could never guess.
It's probably not Taylor.
No. It's not Henry.
Dalvin Cook?
No.
No.
Zeke?
No. He plays for the Saints.
Alvin Kamara.
Ingram.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I said Alvin Kamara.
For somehow, that guy leads the NFL in carries with 229. And he's like eighth in rushing yards. I don't know how he got there.
And then isn't Jonathan Taylor, I mean, obviously he's leading the league in rushing.
He's third.
Yards, but attempts is third.
Yeah, he's third. He's a close third. Harris for the Steelers has a two less.
I forgot about Najee Harris.
But breaking news, a little bit of a breaking news alert. The Giants have fired offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. So, Garrett out of New York. That's breaking news now. So, we did get to break something on the show, so that's kind of cool. But going back to the Colts, they play a game this Sunday. They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming off a big win over the team that just fired their offensive coordinator, the New York Giants. The Buccaneers, 7-3. The Colts, 6-5. According to Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at @the_spotlight. So if you're listening, follow us there and see all the news and highlights we have to show. But so there was 19 votes. The Colts, 6-5, Buccaneers, 7-3. 79% of the vote went to the Colts. So either Colts faithful is just going for the home team, or people legitimately think the Colts can beat the Buccaneers. And I'm one of those people. I think the Colts can beat the Buccaneers because offensively they're the best ranked offense in the league right now through the last month. They're averaging 33 a game. Obviously, they face teams like the Jets, Jaguars, and Texans early in the month. But they've also put up 41 against one of the best defenses in the NFL. So the real question is, how good is this Colts offense? How good can it be? And how good will it be? That's the ultimate question.
I think it comes down to if they run the ball with Taylor or not. I think that'll be the main thing. Like we've been saying the entire time, that Taylor is like the key point in this offense right now. And he'll be the make or break for the Colts team against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and they'll have to establish their run game as well. I mean, you can run the ball all day, but if you get 2 yards a carry, it's not going to work out for you. But, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's averaging like 5.8 a carry.
It'll probably go up after this game against Buffalo.
6.1 now.
6.1.
6.1 after this week. So if he can keep that up, I mean, their offense will be hard to stop because you got to worry about the run, and that just opens up pass lanes so much for wins.
Yeah, and I think one thing the Colts need to use more is their play action. I think that could really help things because, I mean, if you're so scared of Taylor running the ball, you could roll out and throw, and Wentz is one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the league. So I think against this Tampa Bay defense that is star-studded, I mean, there's guys at every position that can make plays. And the Colts are going to have to put out everything. But let's say the Colts beat the Buccaneers, okay? The Colts very well could be the favorite in the AFC if they beat the Bucs. I mean, obviously, Tennessee's still going to be atop the AFC, and Baltimore probably is going to be up there as well. But, I mean, the Colts right now are ranked number 10 in the NFL by, like, all the power rankings. The Colts 3 weeks ago were ranked number 24. That's just a crazy turnaround. And, I mean, this team's finally rolling. Their defense forces the most turnovers in the league. Okay, this team's they're going to make you turn over the ball. So, against a quarterback in Tom Brady, a guy who's turned over the ball quite frequently of late, I mean, could the Colts possibly slow down that Tampa Bay offense that really relies strictly on the pass?
I mean, Tom Brady so far this season has 29 touchdowns to 8 picks. So, I mean, not a super high amount of picks, but nothing super great. I mean, that's about a little under one a game. So he's definitely showing he will throw it in to spots where the defense can pick it off. And, of course, we've seen, I mean, the Colts just picked off Josh Allen, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, a couple times. So, I mean, if they can force the turnovers, it's going to help them a lot. And I think they'll need to in a game against a team like the Buccaneers. But it's just kind of, will they be able to, is the question.
Yeah, I mean, Allen tossed two, and then Trubisky came in there, the MVP.
Let's go.
And he threw a pick as well. So the Colts, I mean, they're rolling right now. They're hot. They got on Hard Knocks. I mean, this is going to be a fun week this Wednesday. Hard Knocks comes out, the second edition, so it's going to talk a lot about this Bills game. So, I mean, I'm excited for that. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, he's probably going to win Offense Player of the Year, at least. I mean, that's another thing you could say, Offense Player of the Year. I mean, we could really see. But it's going to be interesting to see what this Colts team can do. But other games that happened around the NFL for Week 11, the Patriots beat the Falcons 25-0, milk dud for the Falcons. The Ravens started a backup quarterback and beat the Bears 16-13. Vikings beat the Packers in overtime. Crazy game, 34-31. Brownies almost lose to the Lions.
I don't think that was an overtime game. It was a weird game.
It wasn't overtime.
I think the Packers had like a 9-second drive, and then they come down, pick it off, they call it back. And I think, I remember watching it at the restaurant. I look down, all right, look up. Minnesota's marching, they score, and then the Packers get the ball, they score like 9 seconds later, Kirk Cousins throws the pick, they call back to get the ball back, hit a chip shot for the win. It was an odd game.
Yeah, how about them Vikings? Vikings could be in the mix for the seventh seed in that NFC race. Brownies almost lose to the Lions 13-10, and Cleveland continuing to have problems. The football team Bruins, Cam Newton's return to Carolina, 27-21. Newton, though, 200 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown, looking like his old self. And really, the game of the week, Texans versus the Titans. Texans beat the Titans somehow, 22-13, and going to Tennessee now. Tennessee, I mean, you cannot rely on Tannehill being the guy. I don't know. I don't care who you are. Ryan Tannehill has not proved to be a guy who can carry a team. And they just lost to the Texans. I mean, and this is why you play the games, but the Texans are not good. I mean, can the Titans continue to rely on Tannehill?
I don't think they can.
They have talented wideouts, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown.
Jones is probably done for the year.
But saying Tannehill, I mean, he hasn't really been able to deliver the ball to them that well. And I think it's just kind of shown how big Derrick Henry is to that offense. Now kind of showing Tannehill having to use more of his talent and kind of exposing if he really has a bunch of it or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to show. And we'll see what the Titans can do.
Didn't I predict before the season started that the Texans were going to take one game against the Titans?
I mean,
I think the Texans making the playoffs or something.
I did
have the Texans making the playoffs, so
maybe not the playoffs now, but I think I'm pretty sure I did have them beating the Titans.
Did you say maybe not the playoffs now?
Maybe a late push.
Maybe they're not going to make the playoffs now.
Maybe a late push, you know?
Late push by Tyrod Taylor and the boys.
What are they? 3-7, 2-8.
So what? Win out, get yourself a 10-win year.
Hold on, let me
imagine.
Let me check the Texans.
The Texans are 2-8.
So they can finish. Hey, they can finish with, technically, there's still time left. They can finish with a better record than Indianapolis.
They'd have to win out.
Yeah, they can still do it.
No, they can't. They're bad.
Hey, we just saw them beat the Titans.
Yeah, the Titans. Okay. 49ers.
The Titans are not the team they were when they were rolling people.
Well, that's obvious, but like,
the Texans are still terrible.
Davis Mills is better than
Tyrod Taylor played.
I know. Oh. Anyway, I just know that I picked the Titans to lose to the Texans.
You also picked the Texans to go like 11-6.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
I mean, you have a chance to be only two games off. But they have to go seven straight.
If the Texans went out, I would be so happy.
Hey, they led the division for like 1 week.
Yeah, 1-0, and they beat the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And we're getting that team now. 49ers destroyed the Jaguars 30-10. Jacksonville, you're terrible. Hey, the best game of the week, Dolphins versus Jets. Let's Dolphins go. Get the win, and they show life in the AFC as they're now 4-7 on a third consecutive win. And the Jets, Joe Flacco, two passing touchdowns. How about number 19, Mr. Flacco?
It's a name I haven't heard in a while.
He was slinging it for him.
He had 28 fantasy points, Mr. Flacco did, so I just thought that was wild.
Solid performance.
And Russell Wilson had 9. Eagles destroy the Saints 42-29. Eagles kind of getting hot right now. Jalen Hurts really doing a good job running the ball. Bengals beat the Raiders 32-13. Chiefs beat the Cowboys in a game that no one wishes they watched. Turnover fest. Cardinals over the Seahawks 23-13. Sunday Night Football, crazy fourth quarter. Chargers were up big. Steelers come back, still lose 41-37. And then obviously last night, Buccaneers over the Giants 32-10. So, lots of good games. And now going to the Thursday games. There's a couple games on Thanksgiving, so everyone's enjoying their holiday food. They can watch some football. And the first one is obviously a game that happens every year.
The Lions.
The Lions versus the Bears. How about them Lions? Go Lions. I would love to see the Lions win.
I mean, it's Matt Nagy's final game in Chicago, so.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the Pacers-Bulls game? They were chanting Fire Nagy in Chicago at a basketball game.
We're going to have to see Cowboys versus Raiders. The Cowboys always like to lose on Thanksgiving. And then the Bills versus the Saints. So quick turnaround for the Bills. And the Saints both coming off losses. And then really other big games. Titans versus Patriots. That's going to be a game to watch as New England takes on the Titans for basically the number one seed in the AFC. Falcons versus Jaguars. That's going to be a terrible game. Jets versus Texans. Oh my, they're on a roll this week. But there's some good ones. Browns, Ravens. I mean, the Ravens, Browns, Sunday Night Football. If the Browns lose this one, they might be out of the playoffs. I mean, Kevin, do you think your Brownies can make the playoffs?
Oh, man, they got to figure some stuff out. Because, of course, Baker Mayfield, I mean, torn labrum and issues in his non-showing throwing shoulder. So he keeps playing. Kareem Hunt still out, part of the two-headed rushing attack they have. So more responsibility on Nick Chubb and D'Ernest Johnson, the third string who's filling in. Oh, they just got to figure some stuff out. I mean, it's, you know, would they rather just have Baker rest, get him healthy, or keep having him play? A lot of people are saying that he should not be. I don't know. It is. it's an interesting time in Cleveland.
But, yeah, there's some good football games going on, so make sure to tune into those. We'll not be talking about most going in-depth about them since we do have to talk about everything else on the show today. But make sure to tune in next Tuesday, 1:15, and we will go in-depth about every single game almost that happened this upcoming Sunday. So make sure to tune into that. We're coming right back from break. But now we're going to switch topics and go to a one-minute break and come back with NBA stuff. Pacers, big win over the Bulls. And the Soccer Corner with Christian. So we have more stuff to come on the Sports Spotlight. We'll be right back.
Ask yourself what you will miss more, your children or cigarettes. As long as I can remember, my mother smoked. She died from lung cancer when I was 16. I could not take the chance of continuing smoking and not being here for my daughter. I know how much I needed my mom still, and I didn't realize it until I had lost her.
You're not just quitting for yourself. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
If doctors told us that we'd made a breakthrough on COVID-19, we would rejoice. We'd feel hope that we could live our lives again, get back to work, back to doing what we want. while masks are a ticket to that freedom. We can help protect others and save lives by covering our noses and mouths, which is how the virus mainly spreads. Until there's a vaccine, grab the breakthrough that's already here. When we're out, it's masks on. A message to help keep you safe.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight on this November 23rd on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Jackson White, once again, and joining alongside me is Kevin Gleva, and we're going to talk NBA basketball. And one big thing that happened was the Indiana Pacers getting a big win last night versus the Bulls, and the Pacers have won a couple straight, and they look good of late. I mean, the Pacers are a team that lost to the Pistons just a week ago, and now they're out there beating the Bulls. I mean, that's just something I never thought I'd say. Last night, they beat the Bulls 109-77, holding the Bulls to under 80 for the first time in the Bulls since 2018. And the Pacers were led by the 21 of Domantas Sabonis. He also had 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Miles Turner, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 blocks. And Caris LeVert, 12 points, really struggled in the second half, but came out and had 6 early for the Pacers. And Malcolm Brogdon had 16 as well. Chris Duarte off the bench had 9. And Caleb Martin, 7 points, the Butler player formerly, coming off the bench and being big for this Pacers team. And for the Bulls, I mean, they just couldn't get anything going. Lonzo Ball did not score in this game. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, no points. Kobe White, 4 points, 5 rebounds. I mean, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan had 18, 17 separately, but the Pacers just dominated in this game. And, I mean, the Pacers now 8-11. They've won 2 consecutive, 3 consecutive now. I mean, can the Pacers turn it around?
I mean, they're getting back close to 500, where I kind of thought they'd be hanging around this season, but, of course, they got down on that, being 8-11. I mean, last time the Pacers won 2 straight games. They then lost 3 straight to the one to the Knicks, who are actually a pretty solid team. The Pistons, who they should beat, and the Hornets, who they should also probably beat. I mean, they were close games, but at the end of the day, they lost those games, hurting them. So, I mean, I think it's got to be all about consistency right now, since they can get the wins, but they can't seem to string together a bunch of them, which is what they really need to get back kind of higher in the rankings for the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers, they get a big win over the Bulls, and then they're going to go out probably. I mean, they play the Lakers tomorrow. Let's say they beat them. Okay. I mean, that could be a big win there. They beat the Pelicans, then they beat the Bulls. So looking to win their 3rd consecutive game against the Lakers. One crazy thing about Sunday is both the NBA and NFL champions come to Indianapolis, as the Buccaneers take on the Colts at 1, and at 5 o'clock, the Bucks travel to Indiana to take on the Pacers. So a little bit of a championship weekend, you could say, and the championship belongs to not the Pacers or the Colts, but they're looking to maybe do that this year. So we're going to have to see, but the Pacers, 8-11, I mean, they're the 13th team in the Eastern Conference, but wrapping around the NBA, the Nets lead the Eastern Conference with a 13-5 record, followed by the Bulls with that 12-6, and then the Heat and Wizards are tied for 3rd at 11-6. Hornets 5th seed, then it goes Celtics, Bucks, Sixers at the 6th, 7-8, and then really every team is fighting for that 8th seed, as they all have a 9-8 record, as the Knicks, Cavs, Hawks, Raptors, and then you have the Pacers at 8-11. The worst team in the Eastern Conference is the Orlando Magic at 14-4, I should say. Best team, 2 teams out west are the Warriors and the Suns. Warriors really looking good so far, 15-2. The Suns 14-3. And the real question is Klay Thompson. If he comes back and is anything what he used to be, that Warriors team might be hard to beat. And the Suns, 13 consecutive wins. They are looking sharp. Almost lost one last night, but they got a big win. Now 14-3 goes, follows by the Jazz, Clippers, Mavericks in the 3, 4, and 5 seeds, and the Grizzlies, Lakers, and Trailblazers rounding out the Western Conference. So there's a couple of good teams out in the West, but it's kind of more parity in the West, you could say, after that 5th seed. But the Warriors really clear favorites as of right now to win the NBA championship. Lakers trying to figure it out. Chemistry problems. 4-6 in the last 10. So, as of right now, who's in your NBA Finals, Kevin?
I think the Warriors, for sure, from the Western Conference. I mean, the Suns might be able to get them, give them a run if they ended up playing in the playoffs. But I think the Warriors, overall, just a better team. I mean, they're so high in all the, like, different statistical rankings. And especially if Klay Thompson comes back and can be at least a solid player again. I mean, they'd be very dangerous for the West and definitely the favorite. And then coming out of the East, I mean, it's kind of an interesting standing right now. I mean, the NBA champions of last year are the 7th seed with a 10-8 record. The 76ers also have a 10-8 record. They're the 8th seed, so a couple solid teams down. I mean, the Wizards are 11-6. No one really saw that coming. But, of course, standing up top are the Nets. I mean, a team with Kevin Durant leading them, that's hard to beat. Kyrie Irving still not playing, of course. And then James Harden, who started the year struggling to score the ball because of new fouling rules and stuff. He was shooting way less free throws, which contributed hugely to the amount of points he typically scored a game. But he's starting to get used to it, scoring in more volume. So, I mean, a team led by the scores of Kevin Durant, James Harden, very hard to beat, especially a couple players like them who are pretty experienced in the playoffs, played in the playoffs a lot, even though James Harden necessarily hasn't won a ton. So I think I'd have to take the Nets coming out of there.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets obviously have to be the favorite. And in the West, Warriors, I mean, the Suns are a team, and then obviously the Lakers have LeBron James. So those are the three. And in the Eastern Conference, I mean, you still got to give it to the Nets and the Bucks, even though the Bucks are the 7th seed at 10-8. I mean, they're still the reigning NBA champions, and they still have the best player in the NBA, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So they have talent. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of parity in the NBA, but we're going to have to see. Now, shifting to college basketball, IU, Indiana Hoosiers, with their new head coach, Mike Woodson, 4-0 on the season. They beat Eastern Michigan in their first game. They beat Northern Illinois in their second game. St. John's in their third. Big win in that St. John's game, 76-74. St. John's was down by 20 at halftime. They came all the way back. IU hold on. And then they beat L.A. Lafayette, 76-44 in their last game. They play Jackson State tonight at 7. So IU looking to be 5-0. And they really have not played anyone good, so I'm not going to take that 5-0 record, 4-0 record into consideration, really. And for Purdue, they're 5-0 as well. Two of the top teams in Indiana, two of the top teams in basketball. Purdue beat Western Kentucky, 79-69. Purdue beat Western Michigan, Illinois State, and they did lose, actually, to Dayton. And then they beat Marshall. So even though it does say they're 5-0, they're not. That's odd. The record says 5-0, but they here it says they lost to Dayton. Well, the Boilermakers are 4-1. So excuse me on that, but Purdue is a good team. They have talent. They have good guards. They're fast.
Are you looking at the right schedule there? Because I have the...
Oh, this is girls basketball.
Okay, yeah, because the men's team, they beat Bellarmine.
They're 5-0, aren't
Indiana they? State, Wright yeah. State. And then their two big wins, which kind of caused people to talk about them, is they beat North Carolina, who's 18 in the nation right now, and then they beat Villanova, who's 5th in the nation.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I thought they were 5-0.
I know, I was confused you were saying these teams. I'm like, what?
I thought they were 5-0. But, yes, Purdue's looked really good. What have you seen from them?
I mean, they got athletic guards. Of course, Jaden Ivey is one of the big ones for him, just a talented scorer. I mean, they got the big man in the middle. I believe he's 7 feet tall at the least, so he's just able to lock it down. And then, of course, Tre'Davon Henderson as well, their power forward. And just a big thing for them is they were a solid team last year, but kind of going into the season, what people thought is they had so many people returning. And so when you have that experience returning in college basketball and pair that with the solid players that they are, it can just be dangerous for a team to have those pieces. And so far they've been putting them together this season.
And same with IU. They're 4-0 as well. And, I mean, they've looked good as well. Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, he has looked amazing. He had 11 points in their last game. But a guy who's looked really good. Parker Stewart for IU, his first season with the Hoosiers. He had 16 in his last game. He's averaging 13 on the year. So one thing about this Hoosiers team is they're really good at defense, and they're getting better at shooting beyond the arc. Obviously, that's the big kind of part where they need to improve, is shooting the ball when it comes to free throws and three-point shooting. So I think IU and Purdue are going to be both teams you're going to see in the tournament in March.
Yeah, and I mean, the way it's going right now, of course, that's the rivalry, IU and Purdue, so it could end up being just really good rivalry this year between those two teams, the way both of them are headed.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on both those teams here on the Sports Spotlight. But that wraps up our basketball segment. We have Christian Hernandez joining the show after this break and talking a little bit of soccer, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
Now I'm, trying to get better, stronger than ever.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight of November 23rd. On this Tuesday here, I'm your host, Jackson White. And now joining the show, Christian Hernandez for, what's the name?
The Corner Flag.
The Corner Flag. So that's the new name of Christian's segment here on the Spotlight. So, Christian, take it away with the corner flag.
All right. Thank you, Jackson. All right. The golden topic I have for y'all today is United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the situation that's going on over there in England. So, for months now, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been under scrutiny due to the style of play, the players he plays, and the overall the results he gets for the stars of the Manchester United side. And it all came to the end after United lost to Watford 4-1. No offense to Watford, but a Manchester United team with the likes of Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, Pogba, Cavani, and others should not be losing to Watford. This is a side that is fighting to be not to be relegated, and Watford are currently only 4 points of being in the relegation zone. After this result, there's a few hours of speculation whether Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would be sacked or not. And at the end of the day, he did. His overall win record with United was 91 wins, 37 draws, and 41 defeats. So with Solskjaer, could they be decided right now? I'd say yes and no, because Ole is gone, but there's only a select few managers in the market currently, and a lot of them I don't think are quality to do anything good with that Manchester United job. So that means there's other, I guess, another option. United has to go around to other teams who have their manager and try to steal that manager, essentially. And that's easier said than done. The first option is Pochettino. The PSG manager has been linked with this job due to him reportedly not liking that his forwards don't press when they don't have the ball, which I find kind of funny considering Ronaldo, Rashford, Greenwood, and Bruno Fernandes don't even press either. So I feel as if this rumor is dead. And on top of that, surely there's no chance Pochettino leaves this PSG side, who are currently 13 points clear of their league table and are in good position again in the knockout stages of the Champions League. The PSG side had the most star players out of any team in recent history, and you're telling me he's going to leave that team to go coach Ronaldo and friends? This man is trading managing Messi and Neymar for Rashford and Greenwood, Verratti for McTominay? No way. This Pochettino should not be leaving a team with that quality to go to United and risk his chance to win a league title in France and potentially win the Champions League, because United has a good team, but I don't know if they're Champions League winning material. And on top of that, I don't even think Pochettino is that good of a fit for United. As you know, he was a Spurs manager back then, and even with Spurs, is a different team than United. United is a star-studded side, and Spurs is a team that he brought from the bottom all the way up to that point where they even made a Champions League final. So I don't see this fitting Pochettino's style of play. And yeah, with that, there's a second option though. The manager, Aaron Ten Hag, who is a very good fit for United, but right now is focused on that Ajax team he has currently. He's been a very good manager for a number of years. He was part of the managing team when he had that iconic 2018 Ajax side that made it all the way to the semifinals unexpectedly, beating the likes of Real Madrid and almost beating Spurs if it wasn't for a Lucas Moura hat-trick to send them down. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be hard for United to convince him to join, to lead that incredible project in Ajax to come risk his job at United, because United is a very hard pressure job and a lot of managers don't want to deal with that intensity of playing the Premier League and all that, because if they mess up one little error, they're going to be the fans are going to be on them, you know? And, yeah, it's really hard right now for United, I'd say. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was all right manager. He had more wins than losses, but, like, I don't know. He definitely wasn't a manager to bring them into the future of elite soccer like they used to be. But with that, that's all I have to say around that topic. But what I will say before I end this right here is if you like soccer and want to check it out, make sure you go watch the Champions League matches today. The games include Villarreal and United, which is being played right now. And as the first game for United in the post-Ole era, Barcelona-Benfica, Xavi Preston's first match as Barca coach, winning against Espanyol 1-0 and showing a very promising passing possession style of play. They had a very good amount of possession that game. And with only a second match in, he has a huge challenge to face, and this could be a make-or-break game for Barcelona's Champions League run this season. And Chelsea and Juventus, the last match for today, that's big. Could Chelsea get revenge on Juventus for beating them last time out and continue their hopes of making a Champions League run once again, as they did win last season? So we will see that.
So thanks, Christian, for joining on the Sports Spotlight for the Corner Flag. I like that name. So the Corner Flag with Christian Hernandez will be a usual thing you're going to hear around this time every Tuesday and Thursday. So if you like soccer, Christian's our lead man here at WBDG all about it. So he tells you everything you need to know. Well, that's going to wrap up the show. Thank you to everyone listening on whatever platform you're listening this to on. If you're listening on it live here on WBDG 90.9 or on any podcast service, hopefully. Yeah, maybe we get it up there. thanks for everyone tuning in, and we'll be back next Tuesday, and hopefully everyone has a good rest of their week and holidays. So
watch sports.
Watch sports. All the good stuff going on. Pacers, Lakers tomorrow, Colts, Buccaneers this Sunday. It's going to be a good week of sports. We'll be back next Tuesday. And that's it for the Sports Spotlight. Thanks for listening.